Open your Bibles with me, if you would. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. And as we continue in our study in 1 Peter, we come to a place where, as he's explaining to us how to be empowered by grace, that's what the whole book is about. He's telling us what the importance of grace is and how it is to empower us to live for Jesus. And as he's doing this, he's been going through a number of different ideas. He started out in chapter 1 talking about God's grace and salvation. And we ended that last week with chapter 2, verse 10, when we were talking about living in love. And this week we start a new section in the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to be starting chapter 2, verse 11 through chapter 3, verse 12. We're not going to be looking at it all tonight. Matter of fact, I hope that we can get through it in 4 weeks. But one of the things that's really interesting about this section of Scripture is that he's talking about God's grace. And if you remember, we talked about last time that because of God's grace, we have salvation. And that's important. But this next section is God's grace in submission. And that's a harder thing to talk about, isn't it? It's a hard thing to submit to somebody, to give your life wholly and fully over to them, and let them rule over you. Now, I would be amiss to not tell this wonderful story that my parents gifted to me by doing this scenario that happened. We were back when I was, I was in junior high. My dad bought a 40-foot motorhome, or a 28-foot motorhome. And we went everywhere in this motorhome. His idea of a vacation was throw all the kids in the motorhome and drive somewhere. The first trip we took was to Florida. Bunch of kids, 8 years old, in a motorhome, driving to Florida. Just so you know, this is a bad idea, in case you were wondering. He spent more in gas on that motorhome than he would have to buy first-class tickets, round trip from California to Florida and back, and stay in a really nice suite at the Disneyland Resort. We drove a week and a half, went to Disneyland for one day, Epcot Center for one day, and drove in a week and a half home. We were not happy. So we went on these trips frequently, and one night, my dad decided on the weekend, he comes home on a Friday and says, "That's it, let's go. We're taking off in the motorhome. We're going to get some use out of this thing." So we drove all night, all afternoon, all night, all morning to Salt Lake City, Utah from LA. And we drove all day on Saturday. And so Sunday morning, we're pulling in and we're trying to find a church. Everyone is tired. My dad has been up for days driving this motorhome, which is just ridiculous. We were all bored and cooped up for days in this box, and it doesn't matter how big the box is, it's still a box. And so we pulled into this gas station, and my dad asks my mom to get out of the big motorhome in her dress and high heels and go ask for directions to the church. And I remember this vividly. They were arguing over the fact that she was in a dress and in high heels, and the motorhome was really high up off the ground, and how was she supposed to get out? Why doesn't he get out, park the stupid motorhome? And I remember this bickering going on for a few minutes, and I will never forget the day the mushroom cloud appeared over my mom's head when my dad looked over at her and said, "Shut up and submit." Wow. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that when one of the seals was opened, that there was silence in heaven for about an hour. My mom got out of the motorhome, went over and talked to the people at the gas station, came back and didn't say a word. We drove all the way back to Los Angeles. No one said anything. That's not the best idea, guys, to try to tell your wife to shut up and submit. I'll never forget that story. As long as I live, that's ingrained in my mind. That's not a good idea. Not a good idea. When I was in college, and then I first went down to the mission field, I made a list with a buddy of mine 101 things that you never say to your wife. That was top of the list. Submission cannot be forced, can it? Submission cannot be forced. Submission has to be willful. It has to be something that you choose to give up. Because if it's forced, the minute that whatever is forcing you to do this thing is not there, what will you do? Whatever you want. For example, when the cop is behind you, you're forced to drive the speed limit. The minute he's gone, you do whatever you want. Kids are forced to do things. And a lot of parents, they do the same mistake I made when I was first starting out. And I still make mistakes. But one of the things I used to tell my kids is, because I said so. And so the minute I wasn't around, well, he's not here to say no. I wanted to teach my kids to say no because the Bible says, and what's right is, and what's ethical, and what's moral. And I wanted them to have a different set of guidelines. I wanted them to self-regulate. I wanted them to submit to the Lord willfully, not because there was a tyrant over their shoulder forcing them to do what he wanted them to do. And so Paul, he's going to start talking about this idea, and it's a very difficult issue to talk about submitting to someone and taking the control of your life away from yourself and giving it to someone else. But if we are truly under God's grace, that's exactly what we're going to do. So read it with me. We're going to be starting here. And we're going to talk about what it means. He says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Now verse 12. "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Verse 13. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to a king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Now, I find it interesting as we look at this. He gives us this idea that we need to submit. And this first area of submission that we're going to be looking at tonight, and tonight we're going to be looking at submission to authorities. Next week, we'll be looking at submission to masters. The following week, submission in the home, and the following week, submission in the church. But tonight, we're going to focus specifically on submission to authorities here in verses 11 through 17. Now, when we ran our own lives, before you came to Jesus, when you ran your own life, how many of you would agree with me by saying amen that you ran them into the ground? Amen? When you controlled your own life, you were killing yourself. You were running yourself into the ground. Literally, you were running as fast as you could towards death. You might not have known it. You might not have realized it, but that's where you were going. And you ruined everything, right? Isn't that what we did? We made a mess of things when we ran our own lives. And when we came to the understanding that we were sinners, the Bible says in the Beatitudes, if you remember, Jesus there in Matthew chapter 5 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize that they're spiritually messed up. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek, who seek assistance apart from themselves because they realize they can't do it on their own." When you look at those ideas, when you come to Jesus, you come to the realization that you're messed up and that you need help. That is one of the key areas of becoming a Christian. You cannot come to Christ. You cannot be a Christian if you've not given your heart over to Jesus and recognized your sin. It's impossible. "He that says that he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him," the Bible says. And so without this understanding that I have sin in my life, I cannot come to Christ. So when I come to Christ, when I find his grace through Jesus, I gave up that control that was ruining my life, and I submitted myself unto Jesus. That is a very key area of becoming a Christian. We lose the control. We take up the cross. We crucify our flesh and no longer live for ourselves. That's why Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but the life I live according to the flesh, I live in the Son of God. And the idea there in that verse is that as we come to Jesus, we give up control. We rescind it. We give it away. Why? Because in his grace, God has said, hey, let me help. God says, hey, let go, and I'll take care of it. And so as we come to the Lord and we decide to submit and we choose to submit, it's an interesting thing. The word submit used here is literally to add something to yourself, meaning add a controlling mechanism, or it means to lay down or to disown. That's another form of this word. So it's kind of interesting. You're disowning yourself. You're disowning your control. You're disowning your ability to make decisions. Have you ever met someone who is disowned from their family? It's like, you're out of the family. Well, that's what you need to do to yourself. I'm disowning myself. I am no longer allowed to control myself. I am no longer allowed to make decisions for myself. We are to add God's governance to our lives. We're to lay down our lives at the cross and disown our own control of ourselves. That's what submission is all about, that we give up the control. Now, here we're going to be talking about submission to authorities. It's interesting. Some people believe that because we're pilgrims or aliens, as the Bible calls us in Hebrews chapter 11. I am, by the way, an illegal alien, just so you guys know. I don't belong here on this planet. So as long as I'm here, I'm just visiting. And one of the things that we have to understand is that there's a lot of people that believe that they don't have any responsibilities towards human government. Well, it's all the world anyway. I'm just going to let it go. Forget that stuff. I belong to a higher power. There are even some Christians out there, I don't know if you've heard about them, who denounce their U.S. citizenship so that they can try to get out of paying taxes and doing these other things. It's really silly. They end up going to prison because they're doing tax evasion and other things. And they say, well, I'm a naturally born United States citizen, meaning they want to call themselves American Indian because they were born here. And then they want to try to get out of paying taxes, also they can stick it to the man. And it's ridiculous. And I got to tell you, it's not what Christ has commanded us to do. Notice that because of our submission to Christ, we have a greater obligation to obey the laws around us. We're going to start here in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. So when the Gentiles look at you, when they speak evil against you as evildoers, well, look, they don't like gay marriage. Well, look, They're racist and they're bigots because they don't like homosexuality. Look at them. They're doing hate crimes because they don't want to make a cake for a homosexual wedding, or they don't want to take the pictures for a homosexual wedding. Look at them. They're evildoers. And that's what's going on, by the way, today in our country. Just so you know, that's the state of our country today. And they are speaking evil of Christians because we're not adhering to their wickedness. And what does he say? That when they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So what he's saying is, your conduct amongst Gentiles has to be above reproach. That doesn't mean that they're not going to have anything to say bad about you. He already says, look, they're going to call you evildoers for not participating in their wickedness. But at the same time, everything that does not go against God's word, you have to be impeccable. You have to submit to the governing authority over you. And this is a key area. If we try to always get out of our taxes, and if we don't support the social programs that are required, like if we keep going around saying, oh, I'm not going to pay my taxes. I don't want to pave the roads. I don't want to keep my yard up. I don't want to sweep my driveway, or I'm not going to follow the regulations on watering my lawn because I don't care. And you go out there and you're just rebelling against the system that is in place here. They're not just going to speak evil against you because of your faith, but now against everything else. And they're going to have cause to say every area of your life is messed up. And so Paul says, make sure that the spiritual side of things is right on. And in as much as you can, you submit to the authority that's over you. So when they tell you you can't mow your lawn or water your lawn, I should say, what do? Go golden. California gold, as they call it, right? I thought it was amazing. It's an awesome opportunity to not have to mow the lawn and the neighbors won't get mad, right? So I'm enjoying this, not having to mow the lawn except for once or twice a month. It's an amazing opportunity. Our water bill, when we stopped watering the lawn, I mean, it went down. They show the graph, you know, every month. It's boom. It's awesome. And I think the largest thing that we use in water in our house today is still the showers for my kids. We're still working on that. But when you think about this, he says that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Are they going to glorify God now? No. When are they going to glorify God? When Jesus comes back. Man, they were right on. I should have listened to them. Now, here's the deal. He says that as you submit to the authorities over you, they may not like you now, but when Jesus comes back, you're going to have left a lasting difference, and you might be the catalyst for them receiving Christ after the rapture. Now, I want you to think about that. It doesn't say the second coming. It says the day of visitation, which means we're not talking about Jesus' second advent or a second return, but we're talking about the rapture here. So he says, you prepare others for the rapture by living a right and proper life. And then the things that you did have to go against them on that they hated you for, they're going to come to light that you were right. And they're not going to have anything evil to say against you. I find it interesting. As a sojourner, as a pilgrim, I was an alien in Nicaragua. When I first went there, I was just a visitor in their country. And finally, I got permanent residency and other things. And it was awesome to be able to reside there and be a part of what was going on there. And I had two daughters who were born there, so they had citizenship. And things change when you have permanent residency and citizenship. But when I first got there, it's not my country, is it? It's not my place. And if I were to go in there and start trying to tell them how to do their laws and how to do their rules and how to live their lives, what would they have told me? Hey, gringo, you want to do it that way? Go back to your own country and do it that way over there, right? Get out of here. We have our ways. You have yours. If you don't like our ways, then you didn't have to come. That's what they're going to tell me, isn't it? When you're an illegal alien in a foreign land, you don't have the right to dictate how they live their lives, do you? You don't have the right to dictate how they should do things. It's not your country. It's not your place. That doesn't mean you have to adhere to the way that they live, but it means that you don't have the right to tell them how to live. You can't say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Now, I find that interesting because we're called pilgrims on this earth. This world is ruled in a meaningful way by the enemy, isn't it? They're not going to listen to me in their country, on their turf, when I tell them you can't be a homosexual, you can't do this. I'm going to tell them that there's a better way, and I'm going to live my life as an example to them. But what are they going to say if I start trying to tell them no, that you can't do this? They're not going to listen, are they? Just as much if you go to another foreign country, tell them to change their laws. Now, does that mean you can't influence them? Absolutely not, because as you live your life holy and acceptable to the Lord, they're going to look at you and say, well, there's something weird about this person, because you know what? They're not doing all these nasty things that we're doing, and they have joy. They have peace. They have kindness. They have gentleness. They have self-control. I don't know. I kind of like that. I want to know what, and the Bible says always ready to give an account for the joy that is within you, meaning that when they see your joy, when they see that you have peace during trials, they're going to come to you and say, how do you do it? My life's a mess. I mean, I'm eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream 3 times a week. And they're going to say, how do you do it? And you're going to say, I got this thing called Jesus. Let me tell you about him. You don't have to force your opinion. You don't have to try to force him. Now, as a citizen of this country, should you be voting? Absolutely. And as a citizen of this country, should you be participating in its governance? Absolutely. You have an opportunity there to shape and mold the direction of our country. But think about it that way when you're going out trying to force people to live like you want them to force, rather than try to force them to be who you want them to be, why don't you show them a better way of living? Why don't you be an example of what's right and honorable? Why don't we give them an example of what real joy is like, what real relationships are like, instead of this divorce and this remarriage and this living together with no marriage at all and all this other stuff that's going on? Why don't you show them what a real marriage is really about? Why don't you show them what real joy is all about? What real fellowship is all about? What real friendship is all about? Why don't you show them what real stability is all about? Why don't you show them what real peace is all about? And as they look at those things in your life, they're going to say, hey, you know what? I want that too. You know, we represent our heavenly country, our heavenly home, as pilgrims here. And he says, as you are a pilgrim in a Gentile world, they need to glorify God. And maybe you're a pilgrim in a pagan country. Maybe you're a pilgrim in a pagan house with no Christian parents. Maybe you're a pilgrim in a pagan marriage where your husband or your wife is not a Christian. Maybe you're in a pagan job where you're the only light there. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. I love that verse. You know, wherever you're at, you should be living as a true and honorable Christian. You submit to your boss. You do what you're supposed to do. You submit to the authority over you. But what do you do? What you do is you submit to your authority over you, that when they look at your life, they see what? They say, hey, that guy is, he's pretty right on. I don't agree with everything he says. That girl, she's different. I don't necessarily agree with everything she says, but I see a difference in her, and I want to know more. They're going to glorify God through you. Now, it's interesting. He says this, abstain from fleshly lusts. What's the world full of? Fleshly lust. Gluttony, right? What's the new one I saw the other day? Overeating disease. Isn't that called gluttony? The Bible talks about that. So they come up with some weird stuff out there nowadays, some names out there that are just baffling to me. But you have these things that are going on in the world, and he says, abstain from that fleshly stuff. Now, what's the opposite of fleshly lusts? Godly love. Godly love. And so the heart of submission, the heart of submitting to the authorities over you should be godly love. And I want you to write that on that first line of your outline. The heart of submitting to others and submitting to the authorities over you, and basically the laws and the ordinances, okay? The speed limit is one of those things that you should be submitting to. This is something I struggle with. Because I don't notice I'm going 80 until I'm passing all the cars. And, oh, look, I'm going too fast. I should slow down. Right after that curve, I'm going to slow down. Right after that next car, I'm going to, and that never seems to come. Anybody else have that? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to tell me if you're speeding, but think about that. We have a tendency to disobey the authorities over us, don't we? There's a reason it says curve ahead 35 miles an hour. You may not know what that reason is. Maybe somebody was going 38 miles an hour and they spun out when it was wet. And you've only ever gone on that curve when it's dry, but one day it's going to be raining. You're going to hit that curve going 40 and crash your car. And they're going to say, see, we put the sign up. 35. One of the ones that really bugs me is when people don't turn on their headlights, when it says turn on your headlights. You know, and then you're going through a tunnel and you don't see them. You have to remember the authorities over us have put in place certain things. And yeah, maybe some of those things are antiquated. The 55 mile an hour rule, that was for another time, okay? When cars couldn't stop because they used asbestos brakes instead of the things that we have nowadays and other things. But now as all the other cars get to go 70, even 85 in back east, I think it's in Massachusetts, they have a place that you can go 85. And in Texas, there's a place you can go 85. That's amazing. That's awesome. But trucks still have to go 55. We wonder why the 10 freeway and the 210 freeway is so clogged up. But you know what's funny? It doesn't matter, does it? We still need to obey those laws, don't we? And those rules. One of the worst things that you can do is put a Christian bumper sticker on your car and be an inconsiderate driver. Amen? Don't put a Christian bumper sticker on your car and go 65 in the fast lane. While you're obeying the law, you're not being a courteous driver. Are you? The first law of love, against which there is no law, the first law that you have to obey and against which there is no law is what? The law of love, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. So don't get in that fast lane going slow. They'll get in the carpool lane going 65. If you want to go those speeds, get over to the right-hand side of the freeway or just get off the freeway and take the side streets. Be courteous. Use your blinker. It's that little lever on the right and the left-hand side of your steering wheel. It goes up and down, and it flashes a light on the back of your car when you want to change lanes. Be courteous. And I'm not just talking about driving. How about at work? Show up on time. Clock in on time. Clock out on time. Take the right length of a lunch that you're supposed to take. Do your best to work hard. Pay your taxes. Pay what you owe. Don't pay more than you owe, but pay what you owe, because those taxes that you're not paying are why we have potholes and terrible schools and why police departments can't afford to pay their policemen and the fire departments can't afford to pay the fire department, and why we have problems with our medical system and everything else is because people don't want to pay taxes. If everybody just paid their taxes, guess what? It didn't matter how much everybody steals out of them. They'd still have enough money to take care of us, wouldn't they? I want to encourage you to submit to the authorities. Why? Because you have a heart of love. Submission is because you love the Lord and you're sacrificial instead of selfish. Remember, perfect love is sacrificial. Then he goes on to say this in verse 13. Therefore, because you have this heart of love, because you recognize that every action that you take in this world is going to either reflect well or poorly upon Jesus Christ, and in love with Jesus, you have decided that you're going to adhere to the rules and regulations as long as they do not conflict specifically with God's word. Now, let me just pause here for a second and remind you that conflicting with God's word, a lot of people like to stretch that idea really far. My mom and dad told me I can't go to church, and that's against God's word, so I'm going to move out. When in reality, they said, don't go to church this morning. You're sick, and you're not well enough to drive. You should stay home and go later on in the night. You got to be really careful. There's a lot of people who want to draw a line in the sand and then force people to do what they want to do, and that's not right at all either. My husband told me he doesn't want me to go to church, so I'm just going to leave him. No, that's not what you should be doing at all. I do want to encourage you, if your spouse is telling you not to go to church on Sunday morning, but they'll let you go on Sunday night, then do that. If your spouse says, no, I don't want to go on Wednesday nights, but we'll go on Sunday afternoons, yeah, then fine. They're not giving you a complete prohibition. And then you just pray that God changes their heart. We'd love to have you every service. But if you can't, remember, God's saying you, in love with Christ, will submit to the authority that God has put over you, that you would sanctify one another. Now, what is the place of submission? There in verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to the governors, or those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now, you can write in that second line, the place of submission is to governments or ordinances. That's who he's specifically talking about. So guess what? It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you are an elephant or a donkey, or something in between, a goat, I guess, is the independents, right? I don't know what their little symbol is. It doesn't matter what political party you are. We have a president of the United States. And I used to ask people this. If the president was in town, would you invite him to dinner? Oh, passer. Of course, I want him over my house. Or no, I can't stand the guy. And it doesn't matter where you are. Why wouldn't you be hospitable? Why wouldn't you, if your enemy is hungry, what should you do? Give him something to eat, shouldn't you? And if he's thirsty, what should you do? Give him something to drink. So one of the things that has always fascinated me, during the Crusades, there was this general, Saladin, of the Islamic military. And you know what he did? You had the Crusaders there, and they had marched and marched and marched and marched all the way from Europe. Now they're in Israel, and they're worn out, they're sick, they're just messed up, okay? They're just completely, they're weak, and they're at a place where if they would have been attacked, they'd have lost the war. So they're there, and they're trying to make their defenses look really good, and Saladin sends his generals into the camp because he heard that they needed supplies. And you know what they did? They took them figs and wine and food and all this other stuff and gave them all these supplies, and they took it all into their camp and gave it to these people because their enemy needed food and needed drink. Now, at the same time, they spied out the land, figured out exactly where their weaknesses were, and wiped them off the face of the map later. But that's pagans. That's jihadists doing that. Can you do that? I mean, that's something we should be able to do, isn't it? That neighbor that throws palm branches into your pool, can you take them cookies at Christmas time? Or the one that has a dog that barks incessantly and keeps your kids up at night? Can you write them a Christmas card, a nice one, saying nice things? I want to challenge you. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king or supreme. You know, if the president, you know, you may not like the man, the president, but the office, the position, you have to respect. King David submitted himself to Saul. Was Saul a great guy? Absolutely not. He stole David's wife. He kicked him out of his house. He ran him out of town and was trying to murder him. And still, David respected and honored and submitted to Saul. That doesn't mean he did everything that Saul wanted. Remember, submission here in this instance is saying, hey, I'm not against you. I've had the ability to overtake you, and I haven't. I'm under your authority. I'm not usurping your authority. I'm not taking away from your authority. But do realize that what you're doing is wrong. So David is a great example of how to submit to a pagan authority. The authority over you has the ability to tell you to do this and do that. But if they start to do crazy stuff, you still do not speak evil against them. You still do not do all this other stuff. It doesn't mean you have to obey those wrong things. David didn't obey Saul. He didn't kill himself. Saul wants David dead, so I better go kill myself, I guess. No, that's not what he did. But at the same time, whenever he was around Saul, he respected and honored him. You know, Secret Service, it doesn't matter what political party they belong to, does it? They protect the president no matter what. And that should be your heart towards those that are over you. God has put them there for a reason. So for the Lord's sake, you submit to them. Now notice what he says in verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good. Now what does he call doing good? Submitting to the authorities over you. By submitting to the authorities over you, by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Those people who are going to say you're just all a bunch of losers. As free, meaning you're free in Jesus through the grace that we were just talking about, that grace and salvation that we just spent 3 weeks learning about. He says, yes, you are free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice. So he's saying, you know, you are free in Christ, but you're not going to use that to disturb the world around you in such a way to make Jesus look bad. What if we were all just running around all the time speaking in tongues all over the place? What would the world do? They'd call you a bunch of crazies and throw you in a loony bin, okay? That's what they would do, isn't it? He says, don't use your liberty in such a way that will be a cloak for vice, and that you're just giving yourself the ability to go around sinning or doing whatever you want to do or not obeying the law around you. Hey, I'm free in Jesus, so I can go whatever speed I want to on the freeway. He says, no. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is not so that we can just make our own rules. It's so that we can obey them, but as bond servants of God. So who are we honoring? Who are we submitting ourselves to? The Lord. The Lord. God has put authorities over us that we would have law and order. Even the Romans kept the peace for the most part. Now, did they try to murder all the Jews? Yeah, eventually, because they weren't listening. God brought in the Babylonians, and what did they do? They were supposed to submit, and because they didn't, they got killed, didn't they? Think about that for just a minute. When we submit, what is the will of God? This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using the liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants to God. Now, what is the result of submission? If you have a heart of love and submit to the authorities over you, the ordinances in the government, then the result is you're going to honor the Lord in your life. And I want you to write that on that last line, honor to God. What is the result of submission? You honor the Lord. I love this last line in verse 17. It says, honor all people. Give honor to whom honor is due, the Bible says. To your parents, give them honor. To your children, give them honor. Parents, one of the worst things that we can do as parents is belittle our children in front of their friends. How many of you have learned this? That you can't. How many of you kids know that you don't want your parents to put you down in front of your friends? To call you up on the phone and be screaming at you and all your friends are standing around listening. Oh, Mom, I promise, I just lost connection. I don't know what happened. Think about that for a minute. Discipline your children in private. Leave their honor intact. Because their honor is your family's name, isn't it? Your children are going to hold up your family name. They represent you. And if you belittle them in public, you're belittling who? Yourself. Don't do that. Retain their honor. Don't make fun of them. Don't put them down. Teach them that this is how you honor someone. And then when they have a problem with you, hopefully they will do that in private because you've shown them. We don't do this in public. We go off somewhere privately and we deal with it there. That's where we do this. Honor all people. Parents, honor your children. Children, honor your mother and your father and the Lord, for this is right, that your days may be long upon the earth. Honor your boss. Don't talk down to him or talk bad about him with other people at work. Honor him. Honor your husband. Honor your wife. Give them honor. If you have a problem with them, then you wait until you're at home behind closed doors when the kids are all asleep and not going to hear what you're talking about, and then you deal with it. You don't embarrass them in public. You don't. He says, honor all people. You find a way to maintain honor. Do you realize that this gossip society that we have, where everyone wants to hear everybody else's business, and you have these gossip rags on the newsstands and all this other stuff, has birthed an honorless society because everybody just wants to know everybody's business and nobody wants to give honor. Nobody wants to retain that integrity. So honor all people, he says. But what else does he say? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Who's the brotherhood? The church. The church is the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Love your neighbor as yourself, he says. Fear God and honor the king. If we could just do those four things, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That is submission right there, isn't it? Submitting to one another in the love of Christ. So I want to challenge you this week. In the grace that God has given you, let's build up our homes with submitting to one another. Parents, even submitting to your children in the idea of honoring them and making sure that you're not airing out their laundry in front of everyone, making fun of them and ridiculing them. And then on top of that, let's honor our government and our local government by participating in society in a meaningful way that brings glory to God in such a way that God is honored in our lives. You see, if we started doing this more and more, not airing our dirty laundry, but focusing on bringing back honor to our Lord, it would really change the way that the world looks at the church, wouldn't it? It would really change the way that people look at Jesus. So I want to challenge you, start with submitting yourself to Jesus in your heart. And then start submitting yourself to the authorities that he's placed over you, whoever they would be, even if you don't agree with them. He never gave you the ability to say, well, I don't like this one, so I don't have to. No, no, no. We have to honor and submit to those who God has placed over us. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, as we pray tonight, we would ask that you would just continue to guide our hearts. Father, guide us and protect us as we would desire to serve you. Because many times, Father, as we come before you, we would want to serve you with our hearts, but our attitudes get in the way. And as we come before you, Lord, we would ask that our attitudes would not overcome us or overwhelm us, but that you would be glorified. Lord, as we strive to serve you, we pray that you would just continue to guide our hearts. Father, help us to find that place of submission to you. Help us to understand, Lord, that you want us to love each one, to honor all, to love the brotherhood, to fear God and honor the King. So help us, Father, to do that tonight as we come before you, that you would be glorified in all things. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.